I basically outlined the way I came to be a bouncer in the first place. The first company I worked for was basically run by gangsters, but that company was probably the best company I ever worked for. I didn't have no complaints with that company, and you know, the boss man was like one of the best bosses I ever had. I'm not saying that because I fear for my safety or anything like that. I'm just telling the truth. He was a cool guy, man. You know, anything I ever needed, he was there. You know, never short with wages, always got paid on time. Anytime I needed time off, I got time off. I would have stayed with that company, but like I said in one of the previous parts, the company lost most of its contracts, you get me? Most of its nightclub contracts. And it was only left with daytime security, building sites and stuff like that. And I didn't really want to do that, so I moved on to a new company. When I first went to work for these guys, they used to call me Morpheus because we had to wear these long coats. Yeah, sometimes you'll see bouncers wearing these very, very long coats, which, I mean, literally nearly come down to your ankles, black coats. So we had to wear these coats. They're called Crumbies. And obviously, like, you know, I had a, you know, a bald head and stuff like that. So people would see me, you know, standing in the door with a bald head and shit, with a long coat, and started saying that I look like Morpheus, you get me? So a lot of people there was calling me Morpheus. But it's funny, I wasn't driving or anything like that at the time, so I was having to get to work. You know, I lived probably, I don't know, quite a few miles away from work. And I was having to get to work by a bicycle. You get what I'm saying? I was cycling to work. And the thing about me is I was nearly always late for work. I was nearly always late for work. So rather than do what all the other bouncers did and keep their uniform at work and get changed at work, I would come to work in uniform. You know what I mean? So I would be wearing a big long Crombie and my suit underneath it. You get what I'm saying? And my shoes and everything. And I would jump on my bicycle. I would roll up my trouser legs and cycle to work. And so I was famous around that area, you know, the area where the nightclub was. Everyone knew me, you know what I mean? Because I just looked weird cycling to work, like in the nighttime, in this Crombie and that, you get me, hanging down and my trouser legs rolled up. And, you know, on the bicycle, which had a squeaky wheel, you get me? So they started calling me Debo. You know what I mean? They started calling me Debo at that place because I was always cycling to work and shit, you get me, with the squeaky wheel. But anyway, this one particular night, I was working at the vodka bar / nightclub with this guy called Steve. Steve was a white guy, but a lot of my other colleagues, who was also white, they used to call him Black Steve. You get me? Because they said that he looked mixed race, so they always used to call him Black Steve. But anyway, I used to like working with Black Steve because he was funny, man. He always used to tell me stories and stuff like that. And it made the time go quicker because, you know, one of the bad things about being a bouncer is that it can be boring sometimes. You know, you'd be standing on the door, you know, sometimes for hours. And, you know, a lot of places, bouncers got to work by themselves. You know, for hours and hours on end, it's boring, especially during the week. And even working with another person sometimes can be boring. If it's a person you don't really get along with or ain't really got much to say to, then it can be boring as well. But with Steve now, he was a funny guy. He always had a lot of funny stories. So I like working with Black Steve, you get me? So this one particular night, we was working now, just me and Steve. And there was a couple of our guys who was inside the place, but it was off duty. And it was also one of my bosses was inside. Yeah, the cool boss. Yeah, he was inside. He was having a drink with some of the boys. I think it was about two or three of our guys was in there along with the boss. So they was in there, but the venue itself was pretty, I wouldn't say empty, but there weren't really much people. I think it was like a Tuesday. It was probably like a Monday or Tuesday night. It was maybe around 9 o'clock, Monday or Tuesday night. It was pretty quiet. You know, probably had, I don't know, 30 or 40 people in there. It was pretty quiet. You know what I mean? The venue probably hold, I don't know, 1,000 people or something like that. So it was fairly quiet. It was only the downstairs open. The upstairs was closed. So, you know, me and Black Steve was on the front door cracking jokes and stuff like that, you know, doing what we do. And, these two guys came up to the door, two big guys. I mean, when I say big, you know, me and Black Steve was big guys, but these guys was, I mean, proper big, like steroid heads, big guys, like wrestlers, you get what I'm saying? Like WWE, like fucking, you know, John Cena or something like that. You know what I mean? Big guys, man. So these two big guys came in. They just walked straight through us. They didn't even acknowledge us. But you know, it was cool because we wasn't charging admission or anything like that. You know, during the week, on that particular night, there was no admission charge. We didn't really have no specific dress code or anything like that. There was no big queue outside or anything. So the fact that they just walked through us, it wasn't a problem. But it was just a bit strange because normally people will at least acknowledge us, yeah, when they come in. Especially big guys like that. You know, normally when you're a bouncer, you quickly realize that when big guys come in, a lot of them are bouncers themselves. So they normally at least acknowledge you. A lot of the bouncers are cool with each other, even though they might be from different venues or whatever, different companies, they're usually cool with each other, you know what I mean? Or even so, when big guys come in, big muscle bound guys, they tend to be more friendly than anyone else because they don't feel like they've got nothing to prove as well. That's another thing, you know, a lot of the time the big guys are the coolest guys. So anyway, these two big guys came in, they didn't acknowledge us, they just walked straight through us and into the club. So we looked at each other like, all right, okay, whatever. So, you know, we continued just talking and whatnot. About 5-10 minutes later, two other big guys come in. Yeah? And they do the same thing. They just walk straight through us without acknowledging us. You know what I mean? And at this point, we're looking at each other like, rah, like, what's going on? Like, what is this? Are these guys together? Because the main thing is that as a bouncer, you don't want to let big groups of males in. Most nightclubs and most security teams anyway in nightclubs have got a policy where we don't let in big groups of males, you know what I mean? Because that's when you're going to have problems. You get me? If you got a big group of males who all know each other, you don't want to let that situation happen. So a lot of the time, these big groups will split themselves up into smaller groups so they can get into nightclubs. So anyway, these two other guys came in, just walked through us as well. So we started thinking, okay, I wonder if they're together. So Black Steve said to me, you know, why don't you go in and, you know, have a look if them guys are all together. And if anyone else comes to the door, you get me, any more big guys come to the door, I'll just stop them, you get me, and ask them, you know, what's going on. So I went inside now to go look for the guys to see if they was all together. And, you know, no sooner had I come inside, one of the bar staff, and I was looking for the guys, one of the bar staff tapped me on the shoulder, you know, and pointed towards the door. And Black Steve was in a heated confrontation with three massive steroided up, you know, guys at the front door. You get me? Three more guys had come, big guys, and he weren't trying to let them in. So, you know, a couple seconds after that, he was on the radio talking to me saying, hey, I think we've got a situation here. So as I went over to go help him out, a fight broke out inside. And those four guys that we let in had started attacking my boss, the cool boss who was in there. They started attacking him. They was punching him and what have you. And they started getting into it. There was four of them, and it was my boss. I think a couple other bouncers. I don't know where the other bouncers was, but at the time, I think there was only about, I think, one or two off-duty bouncers in there. You know, they wasn't even that big of guys. So my boss was getting tucked in, you know what I mean? He was getting fucked up by these four guys, and they was trying to pull him out of the venue. And then simultaneously, while this was going on, you know, at the front door, Steve is getting bum rushed by these three other Incredible Hulk individuals. So they came through, they basically just barged Steve out of the way. He's trying to, you know, fight with them and shit, but they just barged him out of the way. They came in. I look at them and I'm thinking, oh shit, you know, I got to get involved. So I went over there, you know, to try and push them out or do something. And I was grabbed from behind. You get me? Someone put me in a chokehold from behind. So I'm debilitated at this particular point. I'm in a chokehold. I'm trying to fight with whoever the hell has got me. I'm strangled. So I'm wrestling and pulling around and shit, trying to get this guy off my fucking back. And all the while, these other guys, two other guys are pulling, my boss out. There's a lot of fighting going on at the time, you get me, with two of the off-duty bouncers. And Steve is trying to come back inside and get involved, and it all just descended into a massive brawl. People were fighting all over the place. I was being choked out. Steve was trying to fight with some of these steroid heads, You know, my boss was being dragged out of the venue and two of the off-duty bouncers were fighting with the steroid heads as well. You know what I mean? So at this point, it's fucking carnage. You get what I'm saying? It looked like a scene from the fucking Avengers. You know what I mean? It was fucking crazy. So, yeah, they were trying to get my boss out of the venue. They were obviously trying to take him somewhere. But thankfully, one of the other off-duty bouncers was in the club and he was a very, very big guy himself. And he just come out of the toilet and he's seen what was happening. And he managed to grab the community radio from the floor. I mean, this guy's, you know, a big guy himself, but he managed to grab a community radio from the floor, which is like a big, big fucking brick of a radio. You know what I mean? The thing is proper heavy. And at this point, the melee was all going towards the front door. These guys had obviously come in with the intention of basically kidnapping my boss. You know what I mean? So they was getting him towards the front door. And this other bouncer, off-duty bouncer, you know, in our company, who had come out of the toilet and grabbed the community radio. And at this point, I'm still wrestling with this guy. He's no longer choking me, but I'm wrestling, you know what I mean? The guy's a big fucking strong guy and he got me from behind and shit. So I'm still wrestling with this guy to get him off my fucking back. I got my big crumbie on and shit. You know, the crumbie is a very restrictive piece of clothing. It's not the best thing to fight in, first and foremost. So I'm trying to get this fucking guy off my back and wrestling around with him and shit. But I can still see what's going on. And they get to the front door now. The off-duty bouncer with the community radio gets to the front door. And he started smashing people on the head. You get me? He started smashing these steroid heads on the head with this community radio. Still a big melee, but he managed to smash a few of these guys on the head and they let go of our boss, you get me? So we managed to get our boss back inside, Black Steve, everybody else, and I managed to get this guy off my back now. I get this guy off my back, the guy just runs out because he saw his friends was outside. He didn't want to be the odd one out. So, you know, he makes a beeline for the door, but we managed to save, or Black Steve and, you know, the other off-duty bouncers managed to save my boss from being taken outside and kidnapped and shit. So they pulled him back inside and they managed to close the doors. So all those guys, how many of them was there? There was like, I don't know, 8 of them or something. It must have been like 7 or 8 of these guys. And, you know, as we looked out the window of the club, there was more of them coming. You know what I mean? More of these big guys. These guys was all big steroided up, you know, individuals. There was more of them. So, you know, I'm thinking, what the fuck is going on? Like, why are we being attacked by this fucking team of, you know, powerlifters? What the fuck is going on? Basically, you know, I was obviously speaking to my boss and we're trying to find out what the fuck was going on. Basically, what it was is members of a security company. Yeah, these guys who would come in and started attacking us and tried to kidnap my boss. They was employees of a security company which used to have the contract for the club that we was working in. So basically our bosses had stolen the contract from this other company. You know what I mean? Basically they, you know, over a number of months, they've been sweet talking to management and stuff like that and convinced them to, you know, hand them over the contract. So that's what they did. You get me? And this other security company had come to basically beat the shit out of the boss and try and intimidate us away from the nightclub, you get me? So that they could come back and take over the contract again. You know what I mean? So I was like, man, this is crazy, you know, because I'd never been in that situation before, you know, having another security company come for us. You get what I'm saying? Obviously, I dealt with a lot of customers and all those kind of things, but this is like another security company with a whole heap of massive guys. You get me? I was like, wow, man, this is crazy, you get me? I didn't even realize this type of thing, you know, what was happening these days where, you know, security companies would come and physically try and take a contract off another security company, you know what I mean? By beating up the bouncers and, you know, trying to kidnap the boss and take him somewhere to do God knows what with him. So, yeah, we was all locked inside anyway, you know. I mean, fuck knows what the customers was thinking. I think we was letting them out the back door, but we was all locked inside, you get me? The front door was locked and everything like that. Thing was letting customers out one of the fire exits. I wasn't doing it myself. I think probably the manager was doing it. But yeah, we was inside and we saw, you know, this group of guys gathering outside. There was more of them, you know what I mean? More of these big steroided up muscle heads outside. And I was thinking, man, fuck this. So I went straight to the kitchen to get a knife because I'm cycling home. I ain't trying to go to the fucking hospital. You get what I'm saying? I ain't trying to go to the hospital. I'm trying to get on my back and go straight home. I ain't trying to get ambushed. yeah, by some big incredible Hulk looking individuals, you know what I mean? I'm trying to go straight fucking home on my bicycle, you know what I'm saying? So I went to the kitchen and got a knife, you get me? But I think anyway, the manager had called the police, you get me? So about 5-10 minutes later, the police show up and all them people, they disperse. You know, I managed to cycle home and it was all good in the hood. So that was it was a pretty wild night. This was part 5, part 6. It gets even more wild, you know what I mean? There's even more madness that goes on. So join me in part 6. Hatman, I'm out.